Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ferreira at the far post. Can he get a shot off? It's Ferreira to get his second. Yes, he does. Goes in off the hands of JT Marcinkowski. Sebas Ferreira has picked up the second. It's 4-2, Houston Dynamo.
Welcome back to the Houston Dynapod podcast. I am your host, Fenister, with my co-host, sexy Joey Stats. What's up, Joey?
What's up, guys? Not much.
And we have a special guest today. He comes to us by way of Luton Town, via Connecticut, via... Are you in Frisco or Dallas, Daniel?
I'm actually in Richardson, just to the east of Frisco.
The high-end suburbs. Very nice. Very nice. I'm familiar.
Yeah, we can go that far.
I'm just trying to compliment you, because I mean, you guys are our rival, and I think that's the last time we're going to compliment each other the whole show.
That sounds good to me.
All right, cool, man. So, Daniel Crook from the Third Degree podcast, is that right?
Yeah. So, ThirdDegree.net is a blog that Buzz Carrick started back in 1997. That the whole Third Degree Dallas Burn made more sense when the team was called that, but it's been going strong now for 26 years. And a couple of years ago, I started helping out, and then they wanted to start a podcast. So a couple hundred episodes in, here we are.
Couple hundred. You guys have been doing it since when? You said 96, 97?
Yeah, it started in 97.
Jesus. Are y'all the big boys?
The blog, at least.
Are y'all like the big boys when it comes to FC Dallas? Because there's not a lot of podcasts. It's hard to find.
There's not, no. It's kind of like Little Tears. We tried a more journalistic approach, just kind of all of our backgrounds. You have like some of the really fanny ones that kind of come up and go. You know, everyone kind of has their niche in the market, so we try to be the more tactically minded and try to be level-headed, although sometimes we, you know, kind of fuck that up a little bit.
With Joey, are we tactically minded and level-headed here?
Are we level-minded?
Jesus, yeah, Joey, so. Spoke right. Come on. Are we tactically capable and level-headed over here? He can't spoke good today.
I would say, yeah.
Really? Level-headed?
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, FC Dallas.
So. I think compared to most of our fan base.
That would be true, which is sad. But Daniel, yeah, FC Dallas has had the show blocked for about 2 years. We have a history of
that, yeah.
They were quick to do it.
If it's
man.
Any consolation, they listen to us just to talk shit about us and, you know, and critique stuff. So, you know, we're in a similar boat where there's too much attention and more of it than not enough paid.
No, well, I don't know. I like attention. I don't know if Joey does. Joey's a drummer. Drummers tend to not like attention unless they're making videos with Pamela Anderson. So far, man. Yeah, but I mean, you can't go wrong with Tommy Lee. He's a beautiful man. So far, you guys, we were just talking. You sit in third place. You have a game in hand on, is it LAFC or is it Seattle?
Seattle. LAFC has a game in hand on us.
Okay, so potentially you could be second. So far, your season, has it been better, worse, same than you've expected?
A lot better, but at the same time, the same, I guess. It's been a weird season. It feels like the whole Western Conference has gone backwards in a way. The off season for FC Dallas was very much sit around and do nothing, hope for the best, and somehow that's actually weirdly working out for him. Some of the play has been absolute dog shit. Some of the games have been terrible, but somehow 2 points out of first and trying to figure out how.
Yeah, you guys did us a huge favor. Was it Saturday? Saturday, because I don't know which team you hate the most in MLS. Let me ask, which team do you hate the most in MLS?
Naturally, the Dynamo.
Okay.
There's only one Texas rival.
That's, you know what? I'm glad you said that. Because there is a small little club to the west of both of us that continues to say that there are rivals with us and you. They're not. Right?
No, the cities of Dallas and Houston, this was made very, very clear to me when I moved to Dallas 11 years ago. Absolutely hate everything about each other. No one cares about Austin. What's the worst that's going to happen? Them and San Antonio is going to argue over who has better tacos? It's San Antonio, anyway.
San Antonio is a better football club, too.
That's very true. But, yeah, I mean, I went there for the playoff game, the one time Dallas loses to them. And their fans were weirdly nice and kind of annoying. And the stadium's kind of, it's big and it's bright, but it's kind of cheap at the same time. It's very strange. There's nothing that you can really hate. You just have to kind of go, oh, kind of good for you that you've got this, and stop being so nice if you really want to be rivals. Like, you know, I'm not endorsing people getting into punch-ups, but Dallas and Houston, there's some hatred there. I think the nicest conversation I've had with someone at down at Houston Stadium was when the fifth goal went in, when you beat us 5-0 a few years ago, and I punched a bathroom door, it hit someone in the face, and he apologized to me, and I was like, I think he apologized that we were playing that badly, not that he got in the way of the door.
That's funny. Yeah, you know what though? Daniel, I got a feeling that you and I would get along smashingly in person. I do, because you've been to Houston, you've seen a match here, yeah?
I had to stop going because we just didn't win those games. So I was like, maybe I'm the bad luck. I don't know.
See, I feel the same way, man. When I'll turn a game on. Like I watch hockey. I'm a Rangers fan.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, I was watching the playoffs, turn it on. And as soon as I turned it on, the Devils scored and took the lead. I was like, turning it off. I'm done.
You have to turn off. It's a rule, yeah.
I can't do it, man. So we're the most hated team. You know, oddly enough for me, I'm late to football, soccer. I started watching it in 2016 because my son plays and he's good. He's not like academy good, but he's good. And I started to, you know, understand it. And the thing with Dallas is there's just not a lot of y'all. There's not a lot of y'all on social. There's not a lot that I see. There's not a lot of dialogue on social media, which is the only place we'd really speak to y'all. But there's not a ton of it. Okay. Whereas that other place with the plastic fans in the cheap stadium, all they do is shout. Joey, who do you hate more, Dallas or Austin?
Dallas, but that's not the club I hate the most, though.
Who do you hate the most?
Oh, controversial.
Kansas City.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a Zusi fan at all. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, U.S. men's national team, Gabriel, not Gabriel. I want to say Gabriel Jesus because we always talk to Joey. Jesus. Jesus Ferreira. How do you say his name?
Jesus Ferreira.
Yeah. Jesus Ferreira was the kind of like the odd man out at the World Cup. Didn't get a lot of playing time.
I think they did him a disservice to a degree. I did a few players a disservice. But...
Yeah, I was really high on who's the ginger from Norwich? Sargent. I like Sargent.
Yeah.
And who was the other one they played up top? Was it Weah? Who was the other one?
Haji, right?
Haji, yeah, yeah. And Haji, I was wondering where Jesus would fit in, but now you have the Arsenal bloke. So how do you say his name? Florian?
Florian Balogun.
Balogun?
Fuller and Balogun.
I want to say Baloney.
Close enough.
Yeah. So big news now is that he switched national teams. He's not going to go for England. He's going to go for the men's team of the U.S., which makes sense because I don't know who he would replace in the England team. In your opinion, Daniel, do you think that he comes in and he supplants the current number 9 on the men's team, whoever it may be?
mean, I feel like you got to assume. So he's the fresh shiny toy until he misses one chance, and the toxic national team Twitter crowd all turn on him. It's happened to Pepe, it happened to Sargent, happened to Pifok, it's happened to Ferreira. It tends to be a big thing.
Yeah, the only obvious answer is to play Gio Reyna at all 11 positions.
He's the most selfish player possible. I don't know. I mean, how he I don't think he could even pass to himself.
Right, I'm not a fan of him. I don't like the antics. I don't like what his dad did. I don't like what the mom did. I don't like how they did it. It is. You're right. No, it's selfish. I'm going to agree with an FC Dallas fan. It was very
It's all
selfish.
right. It's just a temporary thing.
Yeah, we'll hate each other when this is over.
It's because I'm wearing a small bit of orange on my Luton shirt.
I see that. I like it. And I don't see any red, white, or blue, but I'm partially colorblind.
It is blue and white. It's
Shit.
mostly white.
It looks like black. Oh, there is white. Shit. I'm not that
You're
colorblind. All right.
a Luton fan. You must be excited right now.
Very, very. I'm absolutely ecstatic. Getting a bit tired of those same articles about our away end, but incredibly excited at the
You big
possibility of.
Ethan Horvath fan?
He's been fantastic for us. He's had two bad games, and that's it. There's a Stars and Stripes hanging up on one of the stands. His World Cup jersey's in the gym at the that the players use, and if he strings together a couple of good saves, you'll hear a USA chant pretty quickly there.
Nice. All right. Well,
Be nice if we could get him back after he leaves Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Well, I think Joey had a question concerning guys whose names I can't pronounce, so I'm gonna let him shoot this one at you.
So you guys lost Matt Hedges in this offseason, which is a massive loss. Has Tafari and Ibiaga made up for that loss?
Nkosi Tafari bizarrely was supposed to be the odd man out. He's supposed to be, he's in his third or fourth year as a pro. And he's the inexperienced one compared to Jose Martinez, who's played in La Liga, and Sebastian Ibiaga, who's played on two MLS Cup winning teams now. Kos is keeping them both out the lineup. They're just kind of rotating right now. Martinez is pretty slow. Ibiaga, his passing is pretty horrendous at times. So it's been interesting. Would have loved to have kept Matt Hedges. Five times unbeaten. He's kind of getting to mid-30s now. He broke his hip a couple of years ago, so injuries were always going to catch up with him. But his ability to organize the defense, I mean, that's a former MLS Defender of the Year. You kind of can't beat that too much. But I know coming into free agency, he was shooting for like a 3-year contract over $1 million. They didn't want to do it. Turns out he went to Toronto for 700,000, and that's what they're paying Ibiaga. So I think just as that situation, people are starting to feel better about it now that the salary information's been released. We're kind of back to square one with, well, why didn't they just keep Hedges?
And Hedges hasn't been very great for Toronto either.
No.
He hasn't though. I mean,
He's
I know
hurt
he's had
again
a
though.
So I think the big thing for him was his experience as much as anything, and it kind of initially exposed that Emma Tuomasi, the right back for Dallas, is not defensively good. And the Hedges was kind of playing a little bit of almost two positions, kind of making up for that, and that the guys are having to kind of learn on their feet a little bit too, how to cover each other when you had a 10-year MLS pro who kind of just knew without thinking, hey, this is how I'm going to cover the situation. So they've kind of lost out in communication and leadership in the back quite a bit.
See, learning on their feet kind of sounds like what we've got going on with Daniel Sterris at right back. We've been playing a, I mean, he, I don't know if he's ever played right back, but he's been a center back his entire career, and he has now been deputized at right back due to our backup Griffin Dorsey. He's Joey loves him, but he's very offensive minded. He started off as a wing and progressively moved back midfield to right wing back to, he even played right back in a four back system last year. And it was, he had some good moments, you know, offensively, but defensively he leaves something to be desired, but he is quicker, way quicker than Steris. Steris is slow. You know, it sounds a little bit like
That's basically Emmett Marcy for Dallas. He was, you know, a winger coming in out of the draft a few years ago. He went on loan to San Antonio to start playing as a right back to try and convert, but the only opening they had was at wing, so that's just where he ended up and kind of never really progressed. So that in the first team had to kind of shoehorn him in. Weirdly, a winger converting to a right back, you'd think, okay, offensively he's going to be pretty good, but he gets the blinders on when he gets to the halfway. He's like, halfway line. He's like, well, I shouldn't be here. I need to get back. But then his defensive instincts aren't there either. So that's been. I'm sure there's very similar growing pains with Griffin.
Yeah, and he's still relatively young though, so he's still got a little bit of developing to do and some learning to do. But you talk about wings moving back to the backs. It reminds me of that Welsh guy, Bale, going from left back to left wing to right wing. A little different than Daniel Steris and Griffin Dorsey, though.
Slightly. You know, I mean, in some cases it works. The same thing happened at Dallas with Brian Reynolds. He went from striker to right wing to right back and... you know, went to Roma for a bunch of money, and he's probably gonna, you know, get sold again to a Belgian team this summer. So, you know, you can make some good money doing it.
Yeah, you see a lot of the collegiate players in MLS that will play up top in college, and then when they get to MLS or the pros, they move to the midfield or the back line. Joey, who's the one on our? You mentioned this guy. I can't remember. Was it Schmidt? Schmidt was a number nine. Who was that would played a nine or a winger?
Schmidt.
Was it Schmidt?
Yeah, Tate Schmidt was an attacker. Dorsey was a forward too.
Yeah, they tend to. It seems like they have an easier time converting backwards as a wing back because they still have the offensive capabilities. But you know,
especially now the modern fullback is an attacker. So the kind of old school stay back, clear it, don't get past the halfway line. In the modern American game, there's just no place for that player, unfortunately.
Or do you think it's just American? Because you look at teams like City with Kyle Walker and the other one. A lot of these successful teams, yeah. Liverpool, they have the overlapping fullbacks who they do get forward. Like, do you think it's just an American thing, or do you think it's do you think that we're stealing from y'all?
No, I mean, I think soccer is a sport. The trends kind of go across the globe, right? So like how Klopp's counter press and Pep's possession style that. You know, 2 years ago in Dallas, you had Lucci Ball, which was a weird crossover of both that never should have existed. You know, those ideas maybe take a few years to kind of move across. I think where you have had someone like Kyle Walker, who's been at it for quite a few years now, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, now it's kind of, it's the trend because everyone's picked up on it, so it's the only way to play almost. So same as like the 10 doesn't really exist anymore in MLS. It hasn't in Europe for a while because you've got like Kevin De Bruyne type that can, you know, play make from deeper, but it's taken a few years for other countries to adopt that, and now it's just the norm.
Yeah. I would say... Oh God, Joey, I feel like Austin played with a 10 with Driussi, but after that, I don't, like you said, like the last 10, the true 10 I remember seeing was Eriksen. Eriksen played the 10 in Spurs in the 4-2-3-1, but you're right. A lot of people are high on the 4-2-3-1, but it's always a kind of like a bastardized version of it where it's really a 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have that like 3-8 that kind of floats between.
Like Odegaard.
Hey. Yeah, you said something. You said it wasn't going to be level-headed and tactical, and here we are talking about positional differences. This is crazy.
Well, let's unfuck ourselves then, shall we?
Absolutely.
So I was looking at Chelsea's injury report, and I'm not going to lie, I got a little excited.
Not free.
No, because I saw Leggett. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Ariola and Velasco, all three names I know. And if, as Joey will tell you, I know fuck all about anybody outside of the Dynamo. But if I know their names, I know they're decent. They're all in the injury report.
Yes. Yeah, so,
is there any chance we see them? And is there any chance, like, are there any other injury updates to major players that you guys have right now?
So Velasco's back. He'll be good to go. He started the game last night against Vancouver. Leggett and Ariola both have quad injuries that, to the extent they've had MRIs on, they were not in the roster at all yesterday. Probably not going to see them at the weekend. They've both had pretty shitty seasons anyway. So, I mean, it's not really a great loss at this moment in time. Giovanni Jesus, he has a hamstring injury. Don't know if you'll see him or not. That's probably the only ones. Paxton Pomacol was rested yesterday, but I think that was just rest. I don't think there was an injury there. He as one of the long-time guys from the academy, he's one of the senior, hey, we know what the Texas Derby means kind of guys. He always has been, right? You know, he's played it since he was 12 years old.
Yeah, he knows, because last time he was here for Ace Ace's debut, when y'all leveled, or you guys took the lead 2-1, they went right in front of our supporters and promptly got pelted with bracelets and water bottles. It was a proper response by our supporters. But
that's apparently Jesus Ferreira's thing. He did it in Austin last week too, and they were trying to pelt him with empty cups and thinking that would do something.
Who throws an empty cup? It doesn't very far.
Someone threw their vape at him.
Fucking Austin people.
Yeah. You couldn't get much more Austin than that, right?
Now, be a real man and smoke a cigarette. Smoke cigarettes like real. Like, be a real man or whatever. Speaking of Paxton Pomacall, what are your thoughts on his facial hair? Because I look at that mustache and I immediately want to hide my children and send him a white van.
Looks like the old one of the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid movies, but now you say it like that. If he had the handlebars as well, maybe then hide the kids. He's also fighting a receding hairline, so I mean, in a few years, that could look really ropey.
He has so many things going wrong in his personal life right now in terms of appearance. It's like, y'all look. I know y'all don't have a huge attendance, but somebody's got to get him like a fashion designer. We like packs. Hey,
we've had like only two games haven't sold out so far. That's 19,096.
No way. That's huge for y'all, because you guys, like, we slumped in attendance for years, but we could always look north and be like, less people watch theirs.
Well, I think the joke was always like, you'd have a bad night where you looked around the stadium and you saw like 10,000 people, because Houston has like an absurd number of corporate seats, so they count in the attendance whether people are there or not. And Dallas was kind of similar. Last night they announced a 15,000 attendance, and there were 15,000 people there on a Wednesday night. It wasn't like the old days where it was like, oh, yep, 6,000 people plus 10,000 pretend ones.
Yeah, the pretend ones are the best. Good, Joey.
That's nice.
I mean, You want to have a pack stadium for both games, a better atmosphere. That's what you want. You want to promote Texas as more than just the kind of green drums with the LEDs that we keep seeing on TV.
This episode is going to be titled "The Only Rivalry in Texas."
Yeah.
All right, Joey.
Hit Houston combined to shit on Austin.
Hell yeah! That's the only thing we agree on. All right, Joey, hit him with yours, man.
All right, so you guys, probably your biggest move this offseason was getting in Giovanni Jesus right back. And he's been kind of all right. Not great. He's not been terrible, but he's been kind of all right. How could you guys get him a little more involved?
Getting him uninjured would be a good start. He's been an interesting player. Defensively, he's not brilliant. On the attacking side, great. When they throw him in late in games, he looks really impressive, because he's the only one in the team that knows how to cross a ball. And if you're chasing the game anyway, it's, hey, don't worry about defensive responsibilities. Just try and get a goal. He has been exposed playing up at New York City. He got absolutely abused from the start. But I think when fit, he's probably a shade ahead of Tuamasi.
Yeah, he hasn't started every game too, I saw. He's been
No,
coming off
he
the bench a bit.
yeah, Ima started the season. They did a little rotation. I think it was against Minnesota, maybe. And then he limped out of the cup game, I want to say, against Nashville last week. And yeah, hamstrings, so they're kind of trying to take it easy with him.
Yeah, those are finicky injuries. Those things can linger for a hot minute. Which of all these injuries we've talked about, which is the most concerning to you?
Boy, I think Paul Ariola's just for the fact that he's in the space of a month, he's had a groin injury, a hamstring injury, and a quad injury. It's like he's just one after the other. He, you know, even that game on Saturday against Austin, he came on as a sub, looked great for 20 minutes, and then went off injured.
Hey, wasn't he rumored to go to LAFC? Was that a real thing or the Galaxy? What was that rumor?
There was some talk about it. I mean, you know, I don't know how real that was. Dallas tends to keep things very quiet until anything's announced, so it's kind of hard for us, unless there's, you know, players' families talking about it, which is typically international transfers more than MLS trades. We probably won't hear too much about that.
Do you guys have like a journalist that you know when they post a rumor, it's going to come true? Because we have Tom Bogert down here that when he posts something, it's pretty much guaranteed to happen.
Tom is always a good one. Really, it's for Dallas stuff. It tends to be if Tom doesn't get it, it goes to my editor Buzz. He's probably the most connected person in the area just because he's been doing it for longer than most people. You know, half the team have been alive.
And also, I saw that Tom, I think it was Tom who reported it. Someone said that Justin Shea was coming back.
Yeah, Justin Che has not worked out at Hoffenheim. He was promoted to the first team, didn't make a single bench, got injured. He's not even playing for their reserve team in the German fourth division right now. So, I mean, they're not particularly interested. It'll be interesting to see what happens as the family and him were very keen on, you know, on getting out of Dallas, making that European jump, trying to. You know, there was a big train of players: Pepe, Tanner Tessman, Brian Reynolds, Reggie Cannon, all went to Europe in a very short space of time for good money. So, I think when your name comes up for a loan and then suddenly it doesn't work out so well, it's very easy to get carried away and not want to come back. We're seeing the same thing with Dante Seeley. He's at PSV Eindhoven in their youth team. It was like a 2 year loan. First year was great. Looked like, you know, he was, you know, he scored a hat trick in one game. He was flying. This year it's been one goal, one assist out off the wing. They've been playing him, you know, when he has got off the bench, they've been playing him in weird positions just to try and fit him in. So I think he comes back in June as well, maybe.
Yeah, Reggie
Do you
Cannon's
guys
one I was pretty high on. Sorry.
expect to play Justin Shea, or do you guys think maybe you take a kind of the name of him and maybe try to get some value from him within the league, maybe?
I really have no idea. Primarily, he's a right back. There's a need at centre back. He has played centre back a little bit in the academy, but we're talking at this point, you know, he hasn't played there in a few years. So can he jump into an MLS game there? Maybe, maybe not. When he did play right back for Dallas, there was a lot of play that would, in the academy level, time on the ball, things like that would go down great. But MLS just kind of left the team exposed. So I don't know if maybe, and I think the team's summer plans were probably contingent on the idea of selling him to Hoffenheim. So, I mean, they probably would just want to turn around and make a quick buck if they can and, you know, get a centre mid or a six or a centre back, you know, remainder of the season and give the team the best shot at a decent playoff spot.
Yeah, do you think so? Like, I watch Yale's Academy because you guys, I would put you top two in the nation. You or Philly, right? And the amount of, you agree?
Oh, no, definitely. I think, you know, it's funny. Dallas is having a little bit of a hole right now. I think this the U15s is an incredible team. Other than that, it's a lot of the what would be in the 19s now is with the first team or has moved on to other clubs. You got like Matthew Corcoran and Knight Pickering in USL kind of wait until they turn 18 and can try and get some European offers like Jonathan Gomez did with Louisville before he was able to go to Real Sociedad.
Yeah, because like I look at Yale's Academy. I look at Yale's Academy and you guys, Dallas consistently fifth, sixth, seventh, fourth place, right? No league cups, no, excuse me, no champion, no MLS trophies, correct? You've never won the league.
Mm-hmm.
Have you won the Open Cup?
Twice.
Okay. So I'm looking at y'all and the amount of profit that you guys have turned with these academy kids. What is it with ownership not filling in those gaps with that money to create what in my mind with that the quality of the academy and the profit they've turned? I feel like Dallas should be better. You should have stars on your uniform. What is the deal? Like why have you guys not been able to cross that final hurdle and win the league?
A little bit of bad luck in a way. I mean, Supporters Shield 1 year, one goal difference away from it the year before that. Yeah, 2016, if injuries work out a little bit differently, you know, you're potentially looking at MLS Cup. They got to MLS Cup in 2010 and lost on an own goal. I think a lot, you know, historically a lot of people had frustration because there hasn't been the spend on the first team. Now you've got like $8 million on Alan Velasco last year, a $2 million trade to get Paul Arriola. You had a mid-season trade to get Sebastian Legette as kind of one of the final pieces. Ultimately didn't work out. Disappointing loss in down in Austin. But I think the thing that people don't really see is that academy makes a ton of money because it costs a ton of money.
True.
You know, they send teams to the Bayern Munich tournament. They Dallas Cup is obviously here, so there's a big outlay on that and all the ECNL, MLS Next, all that stuff. I just think, they do all the Alianza tournament. They do so much stuff, and you know, academy is free. It's completely free. That the money's got to come from somewhere, and the cost of the player's development. I don't know what it is, but
it's probably quite a bit.
You know, for every guy that you sell for $5 million, you've probably got 4,000 kids that you've lost a ton of money on.
Yeah. All right. I think Joey had a question for you about your predicted lineup and formation, what we're going to see. Hit him, Joe.
Yeah. So what do you guys expect to line up tomorrow?
Ooh. Right. So Nick Kostovas has been a bit funny with his lineup or his formations lately. Tried and trusted is always a 4-3-3 with a single pivot. So I would expect Martin Paz in goal, Dutch keeper from Utrecht. He's was phenomenal last year. He's kind of carried it this year. He did have a starring performance on when playing it out of the back goes wrong yesterday with a pass straight to a Vancouver player who scored. Other than that, he's been fantastic though. Left back Marco Farfan, who was Portland's first homegrown player, played for LAFC. We traded him for Ryan Hollingshead, looked fantastic last year. He slowed down a little bit this year. His body's kind of breaking down a little bit by the looks of it. And signing Sam Junker from Dynamo
us.
Dose.
That's right, my boy.
He did say yesterday that hypothetically, if he were to get on and score that there might be a tiny, tiny, very subtle celebration. Nothing disrespectful, but it would be a big moment for him.
You know, I liked him. He took a lot of stick from our supporters. But, I mean, look, he came out of North Carolina or Duke when he was young. He was a train wreck. He was guaranteed to give up a goal and do something stupid. But he did develop, and he did become some kind of player who can be both defensive and offensive. And I kind of fell in love with him. And he was in this state of limbo where for months he was just unsigned. And then you guys picked him up, and I think it was 75,000 is what we got for his rights.
I have no idea.
Are you happy with him so far?
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, this guy's a spare. What's he going to do? He's kind of come into the side. He's been totally serviceable at left back. He came into a game at left mid. He came in at right wing yesterday. Wherever you put him, he's doing a job. And I mean, he's just busting his ass. Yesterday, it was Vancouver put like a flat four up top and were just bombing balls over the top. And he's making those runs, tracking back from right wing constantly and happy doing it. That's the kind of player that you want to see in any team.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with him. I liked him so much that I did this little Photoshop I just put in the chat where I put Sam Junkwa's face on Jesus. He actually, I can't remember if he got us 1 point or 3 points in one of these matches, but Junkwa Jesus.
Apart from that Open Cup game.
Probably. I took a lot of flack from the religious folks. They called me a heretic. It's like, get out of here.
That's a compliment. No, I think you know, it's funny. I remember when Javon Watson moved from Houston to Dallas, and you know, back home, you know, if someone moved from Watford to Luton, you spend the first year hating their guts and wishing death upon their family, and then you kind of ease up when you're like, okay, they're not coming back. This is fine. But with Javon and with Sam, they're absolutely lovely people. Really, and talented too.
Yeah, we picked up. We had some of your, like, it seems like the shit rolls downhill from Dallas to Houston to Austin because you had Maxi Rudy and Fafa Pico.
Yep.
And then we
Fafa hates Dallas now.
Dude, I think Fafa hates us too. So don't feel bad. He's
shit Nashville. On him here.
I didn't hate him. He's a
I kind of did here, and then you know, I didn't go down well.
He does two things well. He runs fast. And he's right-footed. That's it. But you can't teach speed. And I didn't hate Fafa. Maxi Arruti, on the other hand, not a huge fan because he went from you to us to Austin. And he seems just way too happy. I hate seeing him.
Did he win the Open Cup for you? What was
no.
that?
No, they weren't here
No,
yet.
That was 2018 we won it. He played here in 2021.
Yeah,
2021, just 21.
Yeah.
One thing he has is tattoos of a bunch of his teams, and I can't remember if it's every team he plays for, every team he wins a trophy with. So he has a Toronto tattoo, he has Newell's Old Boy, he has a Portland tattoo, he has an FC Dallas tattoo. So if it's teams he wins a trophy with, there's a chance that, you know, he's played for all three and only has a tattoo of one. Alternatively, he might have all three tattooed, in which case that's just weird.
Yeah, I don't agree with the team tattoos, regardless of whether you win or not.
Our player Bassi, he unintentionally mocked his celebration when we scored against him against Austin.
It was great.
You know, he does the bow and arrow thing.
Yeah,
Bassi went and scored and did that. He had no idea. This dude just moved in demos. He doesn't know who the fuck Maxi Rudy is. But it from the fans' perspective, it was freaking hilarious.
That was great. So what? That's, going into
Bassi seems a pretty dangerous player in general.
From the PK spot, he's tits. Open play. He tends to disappear sometimes. He's very creative. He was with Barnsley in the championship.
Oh okay. Yeah,
and he played somewhere in France. Metz, FC Metz. Yeah, and he had pretty good numbers, but he's like you said, we were talking earlier about a true 10. He strikes me as a true 10, but he's playing on the left wing. You know, so I feel like he's a little bit out of position, but yeah. We do run a 4-3-3. Speaking of lineups,
he played a lot better when we had a left back that could get forward more. Because when we have Escobar playing at left back, Escobar is also right footed, so he kind of inverts, And then Bossy on their left wing, he's also inverting. Then there's no outlet out wide. And that's where Bossy kind of struggles to get things going.
I think pretty soon Brad Smith will, I hope, he comes back to form and he starts to the left. He's and we put Franco horrible. On the right. I know he's been horrible, Joey, but he's been hurt for fucking 2 years.
Give me Vanderkust. I want Vanderkust starting.
Who do you hate more, Swedes or Australians? The truth. Which one is it?
I'm going to go Swedes because I think Australian women have the hottest accent ever.
See, I was going to say Swedes because Australia helped us in the wars. They helped us defeat Japan in World War II. So I respect them. And, you know, Gallipoli, Mel Gibson. Great movie. Before your time, Joey.
The reason just to hate Australia in general.
I've never seen that.
Well, he wasn't the reason until he went out and did that anti-Semitic stuff. But yeah, now he's a fucking idiot. I guess when you have that much money, you can say whatever you want. I mean, here in America, we elect people that have money and say whatever they want. True. So it's like, you can speak your mind, or you can be president. I kind of like the guy with Alzheimer's, though. He's cute. Talks about ice cream instead of school shootings. All right, so...
you were talking about the lineup, right?
Yeah, I was talking about the lineup. So going off topic, that was a reference to Joe Biden talking about his love of ice cream instead of talking about the shooting in El Paso, people, in case you don't read the news. So you guys are in good form right now. You've been in good form pretty much all year. We were in form-ish defensively. Offensively, our form is not solid at all. We're on the road. We don't do well on the road, although Dallas is close. How do you beat us? What do you guys have to do in order to beat Houston this Saturday?
Well, apparently it's concede a goal early and then score a couple. Dallas has won 4 at home this year, and 3 of those have been come from behind wins. So if Houston scores in the first 10 minutes, maybe be worried. If Dallas scores in the first 10 minutes, yeah, you might want to, you know, you might want to feel good about yourselves.
We're not going to score in the first 10. I promise.
We might not score, period.
Well, I mean, Dallas, up until that Austin game, Dallas broke a, I think it was like 380-minute scoreless run. And then, you know, Jesus Ferreira's got 3 in 2 games now. So, I guess we'll see kind of which team comes up. The team that can get in the ball, or the team that makes him make frustrated runs back and play as deep as a 6.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you're up. Ask the next one, brother.
All right. And how do you think we could beat you guys?
Play a low block. FC Dallas is completely useless against a low block. That's
what we did.
Austin won that playoff game. That is why Dallas has a terrible record against Minnesota and hasn't really done too well with Sporting Kansas City the last couple of years.
So yeah, my fear is that lately we have not been able to score goals, and we've been playing a low block for the most part in a lot of games, especially because we've had a lot of red cards lately. Mm-hmm. But my fear is that we might try to go just a little bit more attacking in this game to try to rectify the no goals in the last however many games. And then you guys might just pick us apart in transition, because I know you guys could do that.
Dallas is a pretty good pressing team. That is one, you know. The 2 goals the other day, it was yesterday. You know, both of them came off of pressing moments. One was Adair Brian, Colombian winger. He, you know, just won a loose ball in midfield. That was really just a loose ball going to a Vancouver player, held off 2 tackles, played a beautiful pass for Ferreira. The other one, another when playing out the back goes wrong moment, completely useless. Some Vancouver defender turns on the ball in tons of space, decides he's going to play a sideways pass in the back line. Siki and Sebeleng, a South African second round draft pick from last year, closed him down, stole the ball away, gave it to Ferreira in acres of space, and he nutmegged the keeper. So, trying to play up back, trying to play attractive football can be the thing that gives Dallas a chance. And
my hope is that we line up in a 5-back, because I am absolutely scared that if we play in the 4-back and we have Daniel Sterrez sitting really deep at right back, that if Alan Velasco gets the chances, to just straight up run at this dude. You guys are gonna kill us.
Sarah's gonna have to clothesline him.
I mean, that was his, wasn't his first goal against free kick against Houston.
I think it was.
So I mean, he can do it from distance. He's not really like the. He's not really a great runner. He's getting better at one-on-one attacking, but he's not the fastest, so he can lose the ball pretty easily.
Well, Steris is also the slowest. Yeah, his pace on our back line, he is far and away the slowest player in our starting 11.
Then we're just going to be watching a real slower event unfold. I guess actually the other way you can beat Dallas. Dallas is FC short this year. Aside from the back line, everyone's like 5'6". So pump high balls.
And, we do pretty well on set pieces.
And try and catch Dallas on the counter.
We can't pump high balls, though. Well, we'll see with about Ibrahim Aliyu if he starts again, because our other forwards, Corey Baird, Thor, Sebas, they have anti-hold-up play. You know, it's they're all weak. They all just get bullied in the air. It's really, really sad. It kind of takes away the long ball at times.
Yeah, we try to play possession-based football, which we did pretty well against Minnesota, statistically speaking. I haven't even watched the game yet. I was out.
You didn't miss anything?
I missed the loss. I missed some phenomenal saves by Steve Clark.
I'm not sure that you ever miss anything with Minnesota games. Don't get me wrong. I mean, really cool city, great fans.
Beautiful stadium.
Fun, but very. But yeah, their games. I mean, it's an Adrian Heath, so they're never gonna play anything that's worth watching.
Minnesota
with
people,
Reynosa.
Yeah, Minnesota people are they're actually my favorites, because we went up there to watch Spurs and AC Milan a couple years ago, my son and I, and somebody broke into our hotel room and they stole my cell phone.
Oh wow!
When they couldn't unlock it, you know what they did? They sent it back. They sent it back. Yeah, they're the nicest criminals I've ever met here in Houston. Like, they don't return anything. I've had my car stolen in Houston. I didn't get that shit back. It's ridiculous. But you talk about...
That's because it started. That was the problem.
I guess it did. It did start. But we got smart thieves. In Minnesota, they're just polite and cordial. But who should we keep an eye on for y'all? Obviously...
No, definitely.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, all right. We're going to move on. Next question. All right. So
I don't think he heard you.
Yeah, sorry. I missed that.
It's this wonderful internet we have down here, this Wi-Fi. So Ferreira is obviously in good form. Who should we keep an eye on? Is he the one that we need to worry about, or is there somebody behind him that's pulling the strings?
Ferreira tends to be the star attraction, right? He's three goals in two games. He's got 8 of Dallas's 15 or 16 goals across the season.
Jesus.
He's
got as many goals as our whole team.
Fun fact, he's got more goals at Austin Stadium than Diego Fagundes, who's was one of their first signings.
It's true.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, they did good up there. So is he the one? Is he the one we need to worry about?
Him primarily, yeah. Depends who's behind. If Hader Obrien starts at wing, he's suddenly turned a corner and become like a half decent footballer with a brain, which is really nice.
You used to hate him.
Yeah, no, he was just, he missed a sitter from like 6 yards out yesterday, but everything was always, you could have a really difficult shot from an impossible angle or a guy that's completely unmarked on the edge of the 6 yard box, and he would take the shot 100% of the time. He just made terrible decisions, and he seems to have kind of figured it out the last couple of games. He provided a great assist. He's riding tackles, he's not just throwing himself to the floor. He's always one to keep an eye out for. Alan Velasco can, he can have a quiet game, or he can just turn it on and look like a guy that River Plate was suddenly looking at last year. And Siki and Sebeling, the South African midfielder, he he had a great performance yesterday. Looked solid in Austin. He's had, I think it's three games in a row with an assist, maybe, or three games he's
Nice.
played in a row. But he, you know, the last two, he's had assists in. Kind of a wild card, absolute ball of energy. Not always great in the final third, but he's kind of starting to put it together and figure the league out. So really, those are probably the three to watch. And then if Paxton Pomacol comes back, if it was just rest, you know, he's always one of the ones that loves getting fired up for the derby game. So you know what he does, and particularly if he has a running battle with anyone in the Houston midfield, that might be fun to see some fireworks.
Oh, him and Herrera are going to go at it. I already know.
Herrera's gonna beat his ass.
Herrera's been getting fiery in every game lately.
Hector's gonna fuck him up. I, as long as he doesn't get a stupid ass second yellow like he's done twice. I'm getting tired of that shit. So tired. But dude, you talk about O'Brien. I'm so stupid and American. I'm watching that. I go, who is O'Brien and where is O'Brien? When I first started watching, I was like, O'Brien, O'Brien. Then they keep calling O'Brien. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He's not Irish. What
Yeah,
is O'Brien?
we definitely had people go through that when he first signed before he got to Dallas. And who the fuck's O'Brien? Why is he coming from Colombia?
Yeah.
And
I
yeah,
didn't know they.
fortunately, by the time he actually got here, everyone figured out.
I didn't know they had Irish folks in Colombia. Look at that. But we got a couple
They're
questions. We got a couple questions for you,
just
real
chasing the
quick.
product.
Couple quick questions from you, for you, from a listener. We're not going to ask that one. This is a good one. All right, one of our listeners says, "What's more important to you, El Capitan or Copetejas?"
Copetejas is not important in any way, shape, or form. El Capitan. I mean, it might be falling apart, but it's got history behind it. It's got teams that won it. I think the funny thing with Copetejas was, firstly, weirdly, with the unbalanced schedule, you know, you beat Dallas beats Austin, it doesn't mean anything. Houston plays Austin a few weeks, whenever it was recently,
But they
didn't
didn't even
mean
count it. They
anything.
didn't count it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was when Dallas won it that first season, when it was like the best of the worst teams in the league, Dallas, so the Dallas supporters groups got it for like 2 months. And then the organizers were like, hey, we're going to take it off you and let Austin have it now. So it's a consolation prize,
It's a
basically.
participation
It
trophy.
doesn't matter who actually wins it. Yeah. It's, you know, not even worth the tin it's made out of.
Yeah, and statistically speaking, the real Copetejas winners last year weren't even an MLS team. It was San Antonio.
That's true.
San Antonio averaged
Don't
a
even get
higher
started
price.
with that.
Well, it's not a real trophy, Joey, so chill. It's not real.
Well, they
I
have
saw
the
that
shield
post
one.
on Twitter the other day. They were all like comparing all like, the points per game, and they had all the USL teams. They had the dash in there. I'm like, it's not even the same fucking sport, really.
We just make shit up.
I want the FC Dallas Academy in there. I mean, that'll, you know, even it up a little bit.
Yeah, like it's stupid. You it's if you put an MLS team in USL, they're gonna have the highest points per game total. If you put an MLS team in NWSL, they're gonna have the highest points per game total. It's a stupid ass comparison.
I just think the Dash
Yeah.
need to play Austin. Be a real barn burner.
It...
Does Dallas have a women's team? We're the only one who does.
Dallas has a women's team in the WPSL. I think the FC Dallas owners kind of cock teased NWSL a couple of times, and then they told them to go fuck themselves. So Dallas getting an NWSL team is not happening anytime soon. There is supposed to be this USL-led Super League that there's a Dallas Fort Worth team that's supposed to start next year. We'll see if that happens and where it happens, because you know. There's few, not that many places to play out of, really.
Well, that's one thing we do when I guess is the equal rights for women, since we have the only NWSL
And
team.
I mean, you know, it's weird. There's always been the rivalry of Dynamo, but I think, you know, the Dashers is also our closest team. Randy Waldrum's son, Ben, coached the FC Dallas women's team. He was an academy coach here. Randy came down he after he left the Dash and kind of assisted a bit. He was pretty key in getting some of those players some off-season professional contracts in Scandinavia. I mean, they're great people, so I don't think there's ever been an ill feeling towards the Dash, even after the hurricane down there. I think was it the Dash played Seattle Harvey. Up in Frisco.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey. Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah, and the Dallas teams had a few of the non-contract Dash players over the years as well. Back when it was the Waldrums kind of coaching both teams. So, weirdly not a rivalry in that part.
So let me ask you a question that's not soccer related. It's more, we're talking about, I made the joke about Houston being most progressive with women. You see it in the Premier League, no room for racism. You see it here with the progressive movement. You've lived in both countries. Which country,
oh boy,
is in fact more progressive? Like, I want your opinion, because I have not lived in England. Joey has not lived in England. We've lived in the North. We've lived in the South. And I can tell you the North of the United States is far more progressive. But when it comes to fair treatment of players, minority players, where are they treated better? The US or England? The UK?
Oh, okay. By fans, you mean?
Let's go in general, on a daily basis, if you're a person of color, where could you expect to be treated more fairly? Because see, I have people, I was in the military, and I have friends that have served overseas in Germany and England, and they swear to God, they're like, it is so much better over there in terms of how we're treated and the way that people act towards us. But in your opinion, who does it better?
I would certainly agree with that. I think Fafa Pico is probably a perfect example. One thing he was pissed off with, there was a 3-week span where he got pulled over 3 times, and it was basically because he was a black guy driving a sports car in a conservative area of North Texas. Dallas is very, very blue. Collin County, where Frisco is, very red. It was just that, and it's those kind of harsh realities of life that maybe we don't have to deal with, of having to have your wallet neatly laid out and to so that you're not going into a glove box or something like that, that you don't give someone a reason to accidentally kill you.
Accidentally.
In the UK that doesn't exist. The cops don't have guns and things.
What do
like
they?
That.
What do they have? Sticks? Billy clubs? What do they use over there?
Yeah, they have like billy clubs, and then they have like a CS gas. That, nice. Like kind of like a mace still.
A tear gas. Yeah, yeah. So are the cops there nicer than here? Because some of the cops here are dickheads. They're terrible.
I mean, still dickheads, but dickheads that can't really do much.
We'll get that everywhere.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, you give someone
good cops, bad
and,
cops every
you
country.
You know what you call
100%.
It? You know what you call a dickhead that can't really do much? An Austin FC supporter.
Officer? Oh.
Well, Daniel, do you have any questions for us, man? We are about at that 60-minute mark that is so cherished in the podcasting world.
Definitely. I guess really, how's things down in Houston? I know, with the new ownership, you've got that really cool looking new supporters area. What's the feeling down there?
Yeah, Joe, I'll let you go. I've talked a lot this episode.
So, I mean, I feel like going into the season, the feeling was pretty hyped. A lot of people were really excited. We brought in so many new players. People were kind of iffy on the coach, but people were high on all of the players we signed. And then we come into the season, we lose 2 games, and then our fan base is super overreactionary. Everyone starts flipping their lid, lose 2 games. And then we start winning a bunch of games, and everyone's like, oh, we're so good. We're going to make the playoffs. We're a great team this year. Ben Olsen's awesome. And now we started losing again. And now everyone's kind of freaking out again. So I mean, it really just comes and goes with our fans of how we're feeling about things. I think majority of people are like Ted Siegel. Because Ted Siegel is investing in the team. We have 2 players that the salary just came out. We have 1 player that's in the top 5, which is Herrera. And then Sebastian Ferreira, even though he's not playing, we've invested a lot of money into him, which is something we could all appreciate Ted Siegel for. And of course, new stadium stuff, the new food we have there. It's all positive things. There's nothing you could be upset about with that.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Joey.
It's funny, Dallas and Houston seem to go through the same thing. And it's weird because I've heard people say, you know, is that the Austin FC effect, that they've come in and spent a bunch of money and created this thing that the owners of the two teams have said, actually, we have to kind of up our game now. Because with Dallas, they hired a marketing guy that had worked for like the Cowboys and the Mavericks, who actually knew how to market. And suddenly the stadium is now full for the first time ever. And, you know, Dallas historically never spent more than $1 million on the salary, and suddenly like five players are making more than $1 million. And you've got, you know, Jesus Ferreira, whose contract's going to top $2 million in a couple of years. And there's all this like weird investment that just didn't exist. So it's cool to see, you know, there were years when people were like, yeah, rivalry aside, were like, oh, Texas doesn't deserve any teams. Look at the shit attendance for both of them. It's cool to see, you know, like a rocking supporter section and good crowds and bigger name, bigger budget players in the state, regardless of what team they play for.
You talk about investments. San Diego's investor, Mansoor, is he in any way?
Million.
Is he? But is he kin or related to the Sheikh Mansoor of Man City?
He's Egyptian, so I would assume not. But who okay. knows?
All right, guys.
I'm really upset about San Diego getting a team.
Well,
I was tweeting about it earlier. I was. I don't like it.
Well,
I feel like out of any team we could have had, a fourth team in California was like bottom of my list.
Definitely a cop out.
Especially when you have Arizona that has no team. You have Vegas as an option. Yeah, you have Mexico as an option.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you got Oklahoma. You could, if you wanted to go east, you got.
God, you got New Orleans, but that wouldn't. They wouldn't want. But there was a team in St. Louis, man.
New Orleans. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, New Orleans.
I was thinking New Orleans. Oh.
Even you know, even the open bids, you've got Vegas, you've got Detroit, you've had Sacramento for the longest time, even if you wanted that extra California team. Obviously San Antonio losing out with Austin. There's so many options that kind of would have added a bit more than just, and here's another Southern California team.
I was really rooting for Phoenix or New Mexico.
Me too.
That'll be good.
I think Phoenix, well, it's weird that we don't have any Arizona representation. I think we're the only one out of all the big sports in America to not have anything in Arizona.
It's big. And Arizona is such a big part of American soccer with like the Desert Diamond Cup and everything Tucson does. And mm-hmm. Phoenix Rising's been, you know, they've got that crazy ownership group with, I think it's Diplo and Didier Drogba and
else. I would have loved to see Phoenix and MLS. I'm from New Mexico, so I would have loved to see Albuquerque get a team, especially with how great the fans are there. I think the fans there are better than probably 80% of MLS teams.
Joey, you're from New Jersey.
Yeah, we
just live in New Mexico.
Yeah,
we had Minnesota. Not Minnesota. New Mexico. United. You know, they came up here down here in the Open Cup 1 year, and I mean, you know, on a Tuesday night to SMU's stadium, they brought like 1,000 people. And I think last time I went to Santa Fe, I was reading one of the local papers, and it was like a thing about how there's, you know, 2,000 people that just go from Santa Fe to Albuquerque for games, and they all kind of like caravan it down there. And
yep. Yeah, they lead USL in attendance the last few years. They sell out a lot of games. They brought a few thousand people over to Austin for that Open Cup game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool, Joey.
It would have been so nice to have them in MLS. But hey, money talks.
$500 million, man. That's $175 million more than Charlotte FC's expansion fee. And
that's
roughly
more than Man City cost.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's Premier League. That's like, you know, bottom of the table Premier League club money. That'll buy you Burnley.
But no, it's more than that. I mean,
more than that.
I think if you put them against like the sales, that would make him the fourth or fifth most expensive soccer team ever.
It seems
like
to
Man
me
City
like
was like 300 million. Paris Saint-Germain was only 150 million.
What did Steinbrenner buy the Yankees for back in the day? Wasn't it like a ridiculously low number when he bought them? It was quite cheap. But it's just, I don't know, man. These fees that they're charging, I've said repeatedly, MLS to me seems like a Ponzi scheme with the ownership group just splitting the money and sharing the revenue and all that. And what do you think about promotion and relegation here in the U.S.? For or against it? We'll make this quick because we're at the hour mark.
Would love to be for it, but the structure for it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah,
completely against it.
The problem you got is you can't have someone invest 500 million and tell them that if they have a crap season, they're going to be playing at RGB in front of 500 people.
Yeah,
the country just doesn't like soccer enough for it to ever work. It's too big for it to ever work.
We don't understand the problem.
You get people like Tinfoil Ted tell these beautiful stories. And if Luton makes Premier League, that's going to be another one about how 10 years ago we were in non-league and we had four promotions since then. That's
I think it's
awesome,
great.
But
I think
we're
promotion
a
140-year-old
club. And, you know, England went 100 years without promotion relegation. It needed, you know, 5,000 well-invested clubs to get to a point where it's like, oh, shit, maybe now we could actually do things based on merit rather than just who we're friends with.
Yeah.
See, the US thing that draws me to MLS over that over European, I enjoy MLS more than I enjoy the Premier League, Champions League, all that, is I like how different it is. And I think the more you try to make it like Europe, the less interesting to me it becomes. Like, the big thing is with all like the names of the teams, they all used to have cooler names. Houston Dynamo, Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers, cool names. Now everything's FC, SC, United. I feel like the more they try to Europeanize, the more boring it gets to me, because I think that kind of takes away some of the appeal of MLS.
Yeah. No, and I think a big thing is, you know, people talking about, like, I'm going to choose my team. It's a sport. It's not a TV show. You know, I mean, the thing that makes a Dynamo game fun is going to be what happens in the supporters section. The thing that makes an FC Dallas game fun is going to be the supporters section. You know, we talk about teams like, you know, Austin for you know, the good that they do. LAFC, Miami, teams that have these like really cool atmospheres that doesn't matter if the game's shit, you want to be a part of it. You know, you can watch Messi on the TV. You can't necessarily watch Messi at Toyota Stadium or PNC, is it Park or Field, whatever the stadium's called now. Oh, sorry, no, it's
Shell Energy.
Right?
Shell Energy, yeah.
But you can have a damn good time if the atmosphere's right. So it's, I forget where I'm even going with that. You know, you can have a good time at a semi-pro game. I mean, I've been to Denton Diablo's games that have been a lot of fun. And, you know, that's a couple of hundred people. It's just that couple of hundred people were choosing to have a lot of fun watching some college players play rather than sitting around the TV watching some rich guys get richer.
Yeah. Well, all right.
You get more things like that. People invest in the game that way. You're going to get better players for the national team because more money's in the game. It's a better, you know, it's a better decision than, hey, I'm a really good athlete, let me give the NFL a gold, that compared to, man, I could make a stupid amount of money in MLS if I'm good enough and play for the national team. And, you know, the same way it is in other countries.
All right, Joe, you got anything else, brother?
We covered everything, man.
Daniel, you got anything for us?
It's been a lot of fun.
Don't say that. You're gonna put a damper on the rivalry. What are you doing?
You know.
I guess.
Sorry, this is always Saturday.
It is Saturday. Yeah. As soon as we hang up, it's fuck Dallas.
Well, we could throw in Chris's question if you want to add some rivalry.
Oh God.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see this. I just closed Discord. What did he ask?
Will you go fuck yourself?
All right. All right. What's it feel like to being the most non-existent team in the state? Comes from bad guy Chris.
I don't know. I don't support the San Antonio MLS team.
Oh, nice.
And there you go.
He does. The second part of his question is not bad. But you know what? You were talking about sellouts. He says, how do you become popular in Dallas? But based on the numbers you're throwing out, you guys are starting to put some butts in those seats, huh?
Starting to, yeah. I don't know. Whatever they've done with the marketing has been, it's been solid. It's good to see advertising boards up in the city that don't say Houston's two times better than Dallas. Thanks again for that one.
You're welcome.
Thanks. But, you know, we've got a supporter shield and open cups we can cry ourselves to sleep on. It'll be fine.
And you got a Copa Tejas.
But yeah. You want to borrow it?
I'm good. We'll give it to Austin. They care about it more than anybody.
They really do.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's I guess when you know when you win real trophies, it kind of, you know, those kind of lose their importance.
Yeah, we understand. We understand. But man.
It's cool. It's been cool having kind of a not insignificant team for a minute.
Yeah. It's good for the rivalry that you guys and us are both on an upward trend. It's good for the state. It's good for the state of soccer. It's good for the fans, you know, and it's how
I
it should be.
I want playoff games between us. That's what I want.
I want a Western Conference final. I want a Western Conference final.
Let's think. Back in the day, you know, Dallas and Chicago started the first like fan-led rivalry, the Brimstone Cup, and it was based around Dallas and Chicago got paired in like insane playoff games when it was the best of three, and then you had Dima Kovalenko. For Chicago had a habit of breaking Dallas players' legs. You know, that was a rivalry, and that having that possibility of playing in the playoffs really just stoked that rivalry. It's not something you can just say, guys, you live close together, so you're now rivals. Please hate each other.
That's like us in Kansas City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't Rico Clark kick the shit out of one, like literally kicked one of the Dallas players in one of these matches, if I remember correctly? I think I have it in a highlight video.
Kicked Fish Guy, what's his name? Guatemalan player, played for LA Galaxy.
Oh, I know you're talking about. This was a long time ago.
But he kicked him square in the face.
Yeah. That's how rivalry should be. 2012?
Was that 2013?
Rico has been there for a while.
Was that the Jeff Cameron game?
10, maybe?
I don't remember.
There's been a lot.
Shit, the guy's name's escaped me. El Pescadillo. Answers on a postcard, I guess.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later. Anyway, boys, that's time. Daniel, thank you for stopping by, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. This has been the most fun of anything related to Houston that I've ever had the pleasure of doing.
Well,
appreciate that, man.
Right back at you, brother. Right back at you. Joey, as always, love you, man.
Love you, man.
Fucking took you long enough to say it back. I thought you were going to leave me standing, man. I was like, gee, are you cheating on me? What's his name?
It was some lag. I couldn't hear what you said at first. I had to take a second to process.
You know, you blamed lag on the game of rock, paper, scissors you cheated on last episode, too. Yeah. But anyway, man, best of luck to y'all. Hope you lose. Hope you guys come out healthy-ish, though. And as always, go Dynamo.
Likewise.
You ruined my punchline at the end. I gotta do it again. As always, go Dynamo.
He's got Ferreira at the far post. Can he get a shot off? It's Ferreira to get his second. Yes, he does. Goes in off the hands of JT Marcinkowski. Sebas Ferreira has picked up the second. It's 4-2, Houston Dynamo.
Big shout out to my favorite band, Familiar with Failure, for the introductory music. You can find them at FWFTX on all social media platforms. Once again, that's Familiar with Failure. Check them out. Badass band, cool ass people.